Father Rick is going to give us a teaching tonight.
I'm sure that if I asked everyone here to raise their hands if they are Catholic, I would think that the majority, if not all, would do that. And that's a good thing. But the question I really want to ask is, when you leave here and go out and get in your cars and go home and go to work tomorrow or on the expressways or with other family members or friends, if I ask the same question then and there, would you raise your hands? Sometimes I think as Catholics, we do change hats. We want to fit in. We don't want people not to like us. We do various things. Sometimes we can be in groups that are very much opposed to the thinking of the Catholic Church, and we stand there silent. We don't want to get into a fight. We don't want to get into arguments. We don't want people to get mad at us, you know, and so we don't do anything. But that's also true when maybe we're just at our home doing dishes, laundry, taking care of the kids, whatever it is, we don't wear the hat of our faith. We forget about it. We got things to do, situations to take care of, and places to go, and I don't have time to worry about that. If we paid any attention to the songs that we sang tonight, we're all talking about where God is, who He is, and what He's about. And I think we all enjoy singing them. You know, it makes us feel good. We love God. But we have to stop and look at the world. The world does not reflect a people who love God. That's all there is to it. And we are the people who are supposed to do something about that. Yes, we hope that the Pope would and the bishops and cardinals and priests and sisters and all that. And I guess they do their part. But they are not rubbing elbows with the people that we run into at Kroger's and Walmart, all the other places that we go, Walgreens and CVS and the meat store and Pony Keg and the gas station and what have you. And sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that we have any great belief in God. We just go about our business. The other day, one of the Gospels, I was talking about the fact that Jesus goes forth and He proclaims the good news, and I think He was in His home country and everybody rejected Him. They didn't like what He had to say. They didn't like who He was. They didn't like that He could bring trouble to their city. So they just yelled at Him, "Where'd you get all this?" It's almost in the back of our mind that they're saying, "You were a jerk when you were here and you're a jerk now." But I don't think that was their thinking then, but certainly was then. They just didn't want Him to be around. He made another attempt to visit His home city, and they were so ticked at Him that they tried to throw Him over the cliff. Now, these were good practicing Jews, people that received God's word. In today's gospel, Jesus calls His 12 apostles. And He says, go out. Don't go anywhere else. Don't go in any foreign lands or Samaritans, anything. Stay right here and tell the people good news. Be My voice to them. Heal people. Raise the dead. Cure the blind. Cure cripples. Let them know the message. And we didn't have that today, but I'm sure it's in the gospel tomorrow. They all come back. That was great. We healed people. The devil even ran when we came. How many times have we stepped into any situation and tried to do something because of our faith? Because we believed it was the right thing to do. I've told this story a million times, and I'll probably tell it till the day I die. But just right up there at the Western Hills, I've told that story at Target. The lady, older lady, fell in front of the door and everybody stepped over. They wouldn't help her. A friend of mine was going into the store and saw her, and she went over to her and she asked somebody to call 911. No, but they acted like it didn't even happen. She sent her granddaughter in to see if they could get a chair. The people in the store wouldn't even give her a chair. Finally, some lady did come out with a chair. But we have this attitude that the only person that matters is me. And therefore, I have every right to protect myself from any problem, any difficulty, anything that doesn't affect me. I can do whatever. We have this thing. And yet, God is coming along and saying, how well are you spreading the message of Christ to those around you? I've told this story a million times, too. There's a guy that was very big on Jesus. He had a big cross. It was much bigger than this, but he wore it on the outside. Big, hairy thing. He worked in a warehouse, and everybody knew he was a Christian. And when he would sit at a table to eat lunch, and they were telling off-colored jokes, they'd all say, well, time to shut up, because Joe's here, or whatever his name was. He had an effect. And he was always willing to help people. He was always happy, always cheerful. They got a new foreman to come in, and the guy hated his cheerfulness, hated his good nature, probably hated the cross that was hanging around his neck. And he demoted him and gave him all the late night, overnight business that this warehouse had to take care of. Gave him all the worst jobs, like basically clean the toilets every day or something, you know. He did it. Never complained, never said anything, just did it. The man, the new foreman, had a heart attack, wound up in the hospital. Fairly severe heart attack. And this guy, Joe, went around to everybody in the warehouse and collected money, got him a box of candy, big bouquet of flowers, and a very nice card, and had it sent to him in the hospital saying, the staff and all the workers here are praying for you, hoping that you'll recover and you'll be back with us again. Well, the guy got better, and he came back to work. And he called his assistant foreman in, and he said, I got the card and the flowers and the candy from you guys, and I really appreciate it. He said, this is not the first time I've had a heart attack. He said, I've been in the hospital on a number of occasions. He says, I've never had anybody that worked for me ever do anything like that. He said, it really touched me, and I appreciate it. But who started that? Who got that underway? And his associate, his assistant, said, it was Joe. As soon as he heard about it, he came around asking everybody for money. He said he'd take care. And he said, Joe, the guy I have been riding since I have been here all these months, he's the one that did this. And he said, yeah, he was the one that started it all, took care of everything. He said, thanks. He called Joe in. And almost with tears in his eyes, he apologized profusely for his behavior and his attitude. He said, I've never had anybody deal with me the way that you have. And I ask your deepest forgiveness. And of course, it changed their relationship, as you can imagine. We have to make choices in our lives that if we're going to say that I'm a follower of Christ in church, we have to be willing to say it outside. Now, we don't only have to walk around with a big sign, but what is our attitudes? Every time we're on the expressway and somebody cuts us off or practically hits us or blows their horn at us, or do we curse at them, swear at them, say, damn you, I wish you'd get off the road? Or do we say, God, watch over that person. Be with them because they need you. We go into a store and people don't care. They run into you with their baskets and don't apologize. They cut in front of you and they do all kinds of things. What do we do? How do we respond? Somebody said that a priest friend, when he goes into those stores, people come up to him and say, "Could you lend me some money, Father? I don't have anything." And he says, "Well, I'm sorry." He says, I don't give people money. He says, I'm afraid that they're going to use it for alcohol or drugs or some other stuff. They're just looking for it. He says, "What's your name?" And I says, "Well, Joe." He says, "Joe, I will tell you this. I will pray for you every day of this week. And I will remind myself morning, noon, and night how much you need prayer." And the people are surprised. And they back off and they say, "Thank you. Thank you." He's never had anybody punch him in the face or curse him. They've all appreciated that he was going to pray for them every day. The thing is that God calls us and we say, "Yeah, I love God." But sometimes we leave that love of God at the door. We have to be people who are going to bring the message of Christ to a world that is hungry for him and don't even know it. You know, that we had that killing of those four people over in Florence. Out in, I don't know if it was California or somewhere, they had something like 55 young people come in and ransacked the store for 45 minutes. The police didn't show up for 2 hours. They ruined his livelihood. And this is the world that we are living in. Just read an article in the paper of how many big businesses in the United States are doing business with communist China. Somebody just wrote that they're looking to see how they can make the bird flu more dangerous because they're looking to make vaccine that will cost a lot more money to deal with the illness. I mean, that's sick. That is really sick. And God is asking us to be people who trust in him, who says that every day I will be with you. I will watch over you. I will protect you. I will give you the things that you need. Yes, you're going to live your life and bad things are going to happen because that's the way the world is. But I will be with you to keep you safe when you are faithful to me and really show the love you have. I don't know why we're so afraid of that, but we are. We just don't want people to know. We're worried of what they'll say or do. I mean, you know, yeah, they just knocked over all those tombstones around where I live in those Jewish cemeteries. They paint the synagogues. But that doesn't mean it's going to stop at the Jewish synagogues. There are going to be those who see Catholic churches and may do the very same thing, or Protestant churches for that matter. We have to understand that we live in a time of genuine hatred, when people don't care as long as they get what they want. And they don't care who they kill, who they beat up, who they rob, who they steal, who they destroy. We're a world of factions. I saw another little article that is using Jesus because they don't want people to hunt animals. They say Jesus is against this. And anybody who goes out and hunts animals doesn't really love Jesus, nor does Jesus love them. That's ridiculous. Yes, we're not supposed to go out and torture animals. We're not supposed to go and set them on fire and watch them burn and suffer. But God gave us animals to treat well, but also for food, for the hunt. Nothing wrong with that. They said Jesus never would kill anything. Well, there's sacrifice. Every year, sacrifice thousands of lambs and goats when they celebrated Passover. I mean, literally, when Passover came, they had an outside altar, and all the Jewish people that came were to take the lamb home that had been slain and offered on the sacrificial offer in remembrance of God's love and who he is for us. They said over 10,000 lambs would be sacrificed. When the guy who was possessed by hundreds, God said, well, go away. No, they pleaded with him. We don't want to go back to hell. Send us into the swine. Oh, no, we can't hurt the pigs. God said, go, because that one human life was worth more than all those pigs. It's not that God didn't care about the pigs, but he cared about the human person far more, because he came to die. He didn't die for the pigs. He died for us. We are the ones of value. Yes, we're supposed to respect nature. We're not supposed to go out and start forest fires. We're not supposed to go and just mutilate animals, let them starve. No. But we are called to recognize the worth and value of the human person, which we have certainly lost with abortion and euthanasia and all of that. Why does that happen? Because people are worried about themselves. We have to be very happy that God was not wrapped up in himself, because he came and died for all of us. And he asks us to do the same, not to die for all of us, but to have a compassion and a love for our brothers and sisters, whether they like us or not. Why do we have martyrs? Because these people were willing to sacrifice themselves because they loved them and wanted them to know God. We can't always be out there thinking of ourselves. We are called to be people of compassion and love. And when people are in need, to respond. We are not free to stand by and let people be hurt and destroyed because we are worried that somebody may not like us. There's one who matters, who loves us, and that makes all the difference. That life matters. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or anything. It's that human life is what matters, because God created us. And he gives us the means, the grace, the strength, the guidance to rejoice in this tremendous gift of his love, his grace, and the gift of one another.